Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations. Edward, how are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. I just had no idea if I was going to be joined by our other co-host tonight or not.
Well, he's driving to Tulsa, I've heard.
Yeah, well, he could still call in. It's unprofessional. But I hope he sent you some news like I asked him to.
No, he did not.
Oh, he did not. Oh, he totally pulled out on the show then.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's okay. I found a little something we could talk about. I've punched up some news of my own thanks to. I'll plug him right now. Thanks to AngryMarks.com. I've pulled up some news and figured that at the very least we could give the listeners a little bit of a show this evening, so as to not disappoint our tens.
Well, that's too offensive, Stevie Dave, but I only accept news from Dave Meltzer.
Well, some of it I'm sure came from Mr. Meltzer.
Oh, okay.
So never fear, Edward. Did you watch UFC this weekend or this Wednesday?
Yeah, I threw in time, and I saw Vincent Henderson actually avenge his loss. I did watch it Wednesday. It was an okay show, I guess. I don't even remember, really. Condon is kicked Kantman's ass for the most part in the main event. And I think what happened, what really led to that is that the first fight was very close, and the stand-up was very close, but Kentman won because he was able to take him down, and I think he had in his head, the way to beat him is to take him down, and he spent way, way too much goddamn energy trying to take him down in the first round and blew his fucking gas tank, and then he was just, it was just a standing target from there. Plus, also, he got poked in the eye, so that kind of led to him starting to get hit. You know, that's when he started getting hit, was when he was like kind of got poked in the eye. And then by the third round, he had nothing left, basically, and just with a punching bag, and his face was pretty fucked up.
I thought the main event was pretty tremendous. I am a big fan of Kampman, or a big fan of Condit. He's kind of a slow starter. He's always spending the first round, much like Anderson Silva, feeling out the guy for the first round, and then in the fourth round finally finished him off. But it's a good fight. I really want to see him in GSP again. I think that's the money fight, or GSP and Hendricks.
Either way, it'll be a good fight because he had good fights with both guys. So, but I don't think he's mixed in line. And as far as the Total Guardian shit, these guys need to get over that shit. Like the Cowboy. That Cowboy really disappointed me because I'm a big fan of the Cowboy, but the Cowboy is too busy to watch film. He's eating milk duds like a few days before the fight, and he's just going to do what he does. And they shouldn't ever let the Cowboy do what he wanted to do. He's better when he's actually, like, got the game plan and doing something. I mean, he decided he was going to go toe-to-toe with Nate Diaz, and that was a mistake, and he got his ass kicked. And last night, he just didn't, he just figured, I'm going to go in and win, and he's fighting a good dude. And he looked good for the last minute of a fight, but that was just about it. I mean, that was a pretty bad performance. But.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of the Cowboy. I loved him in WEC and Cowboy Cerrone. Not what he used to be. In fact, I'm pretty sure one more loss and he's pretty much in danger of being cut.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it would be... I think he lost 2-1-1 and lost this one, so, you know. But he's a character, so they kept Dan Hardy around after 4 losses, so who knows.
Hey, anybody that can get in a boating accident and go all pirate on some guy by boarding his vessel and kicking the crap out of him, that's a guy you need to keep around for a while because that's just entertaining.
Yeah, I wish I would have seen that fight instead of the fight from Wednesday.
Let me see. In other pay-per-view UFC news, there's one tomorrow. UFC 164 is on pay-per-view tomorrow, and 4 of the 5 televised pay-per-view fights. We got Mendez versus Guida.
Which Mendez should win because Guida sucks lately.
Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. We have Rothwell versus Vera.
Well, this afternoon, I kind of like called Paul the link on the front page about the weigh-ins live, so I clicked on it, and the first person I see is Brandon Vera, and I was like, Brandon fucking Vera's fighting on this fucking show? And then they said Ben Rothwell, and I was like, Ben Rothwell fucking fighting on this fucking show? It's like, why aren't these guys fired yet?
Well, Brandon Vera was in danger of being fired months ago, and then he got a win, and then he had a good showing, and I can't remember who it's against, because they have 500,000 fights. And then... I would imagine the guy that loses this one might be gone.
Maybe we'll get lucky and the winner and loser get cut. And Ben Rothwell is another guy who's like, he had like maybe one good fight in the last so many, but all the other ones haven't been very good. And
true.
Yeah. 2 punching bags, or 1 punching bag and 1 never was.
I'm going to predict Rothwell on this one though. So. By Mr. Vera. In the semi-main, we have Frank Mir versus Josh Barnett.
Well, I got $20 on Barnett, so he better fucking win.
That's fair. I can't stand Frank Mir, especially when he's talking. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. The guy I bet $20 with, like, it's this dude from work, and I bet him every Frank Mir fight, so I won some money from him over the years. But when he was walking out, I saw him, and I was like, hey, $20 on Barnett. And he just looks at me, and he's actually a full-timer, so he makes a little more than me. So he says, 1,000. And I was like, fuck, I can do a lot of things with 1,000, but I can't risk it. You know, I don't even...
Yeah.
Have that fucking. I was like, just 20, dude. That's cool.
There's a guy at my work. His wife. I told him about Brian and my friendship with Brian and what he does for a living. And one day he comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, Craig. How well does your buddy know the fighters?" And I said, I couldn't even tell you. He says, any chance you get my wife an autographed picture of Frank Mir? And I started to snicker, and I said, why? And she thinks he's pretty handsome. Frank Mir.
Well, her and Frank Mir are probably the only people who think that. Right. I'll never forget when I covered the WEC show that was here in San Antonio that had the great Henderson Cerrone fight, first one.
Right.
And we're walking from the media room after we just munched out, and I'm with Jay Botter and a few other guys. It wasn't like a whole lot of media for there, but anyway, we're walking back to get to our, or they're walking us to our ringside seat. So on the way there, we pass this corner. And in the corner is Frank Mir sitting down with two women applying makeup on. And I've never seen, he was like the biggest metrosexual I've ever seen in my life. And you just look at him and you just feel that he's a douchebag. And I think a lot of people would agree that Frank Mir is a douchebag.
Probably.
Remember when he used to be the interviewer for WEC?
Yes, he was horrible.
Yeah, it was like the Great Khali interviewing fucking Hornswoggle every fight.
Yeah, but just him, he's like Spicoli.
He's a douchebag.
He's
a douchebag. That's the best way to describe him.
Anyway. That's enough Frank Mir talk. That's the most Frank Mir talk we've had on this show ever. But and in the main event of tomorrow night's UFC 164, we have Benson Henderson versus Anthony Pettis, and I'm very much looking forward to this.
Yeah, I mean, the first fight was an all-time classic. I would say it was the second best WEC fight ever. I would put Henderson Cerrone 1 above it as far as overall fight. The thing that gets this fight so much attention was it wasn't even how it finished. Even though they try and make it look that's how it finished, the kick wasn't the finish. The kick happened with, 30 seconds to a minute to go. And,
that's about right.
Yeah, so, but it should be a good fight. Pettis is, except for, losing to Guido one time, which I don't understand what the fuck happened there, he's destroyed everybody. He's destroyed Lozon. He destroyed the Cowboy. I mean, it should be a pretty damn good fight. And I guess as we got to the end of our UFC talk here, it was perfect timing because we do have another caller on the line, so let me put him on the line. Contreras, are you there?
I think Frank Mir is a handsome man.
Good to know.
I'm not glad to hear that. That's scary.
No, I'm not being serious.
So are you on the road right now?
No, I'm at my destination.
Oh, good to know. Glad you made it safely.
Where did you go again? Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Yep.
Oh.
It's a little lake out here we go to. Sometimes my sister comes from Kansas City, and we meet up there with our kids and stuff so for the holiday weekend.
That's cool.
Nice. Nice. Well, I don't have a lot of news to talk about this evening. I do have a little bit. Where do you want to start? You want to start with some indie action? You want to start with TNA? Or you want to start with WWE?
Well, TNA was the indie action.
Yeah.
TNA is just confusing and it makes my head hurt.
TNA's a fuck-up of a company is what that is.
I've watched the last 2 weeks. I was, my interest was piqued when I saw Miss Tessmacher in a pair of leather shorts.
That would do it.
Possibly the greatest thing I've ever seen on Impact Wrestling. And then I watched the rest of the show. And, it's,
If you like women in leather shorts, you really need to go out of your way to find pictures of Brittany and Ariane from the weigh-ins. Earlier today, it was like they got something with Harley Davidson, and it's like Harley Davidson's reunion. So they were wearing tiny little black leather shorts, tiny little leather black bra, and then instead of those stupid ass tennis shoes that they wore, that to me just ruins the outfit. Like the normal outfit, they had on some black leather boots, so it was fucking awesome.
Okay. Well, good to know.
Almost made up for Vincent Henderson pulling his fucking underwear down and showing everyone his cock. Thank God that didn't happen after all.
Why were the Funkadactyls at a weigh-in?
These weren't the Funkadactyls. These were two Mexicans.
Okay. Well, I just wonder. I don't know who you're talking about. You said Ariane. I thought that was one of the Funkadactyls.
It is. He's referring to you.
One of the two names she goes by.
Sure.
I only know her as the bomb.com.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah. That's good to know. Anyway, TNA the last couple of weeks has been off the charts ridiculous. And then seeing the spoilers where they're actually doing another match for the Bound for Glory series, and it's already one that they've done. Way to go, guys.
Did I also read that Eric Young was in one of the Bound for Glory matches on one of these like little taped shows or something, and that
on the Explosion show, I think it was.
Was he even in it? I don't remember him even being in it.
I don't know. This whole thing's so goofy with all these points and bullshit.
Okay, so is this one this year?
I hope Lagana's not writing this stuff.
No, there's no way. He's not writing. Anyway, by the way, and then Magnus didn't show up for the tapings yesterday, and he's in the league.
He made it for the second one, I heard.
Yeah, he made it for the second one.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that might have saved it. I didn't read all the spoilers, but, if any other bad thing could happen, I'm sure it would happen in this tournament, so.
Well, actually, if you've read Brian's update, he made a comment that Samoa Joe should be number two, but they decided not to count one of his, like, house shows against Bobby Roode, even though they announced Bobby Roode is losing four matches. So, yeah, it's, They found someone worse than Vince Russo to write this shit.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, is this year's tournament better or worse than the last Russo booking of this tournament?
I don't even remember these tournaments from year to year, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Granted, but I remember
just,
the Russo...
Just have a big bracket like they would do at the Crockett Cup. Put everybody in the company if you want to in a big tournament. Started 3 months early, and every week have a match.
Yes.
They could have done it. They could have done it like the G1 Climax, basically. You know, had 20 dudes every week. They all wrestled each other one time, and you know you could have got a good 9-10 weeks out of it. And then
the Bound for Glory series is not going anywhere near how it goes.
I mean, they would have been able to keep track of everything, keep score, right? It's, you know, instead of like doing it, okay, some are going to be on Impact, some are going to be on Explosion, we're going to do a bunch at the house shows. How the fuck are you going to keep up with that shit? Apparently you can't.
It's like in WCW with that Sid win streak where he'd start the Nitro with 10 wins and he'd be up to 20-0 or something by the end of the show, not even wrestling a match or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about tournaments...
I'm picking AJ Styles to win the whole thing.
That's easy, yeah.
And then he leads to WWE in 3 months.
I doubt it.
Actually, that's one of my stories, actually. As soon as I find it. AJ Styles and TNA have come to some sort of agreement on a contract extension, according to the PWI. In related news,
it must be wrong.
Related
news. Always...
Well, WWE won him after that promo last night.
In related news, it is also reported on PWI. WWE is reporting they have zero interest in signing any TNA talent, including the possibly soon free agent AJ Styles, feeling they have quote unquote nothing to offer. And would not prosper in the developmental system in WWE.
Where did this
Well, you know what? If they didn't make the move for AJ, really, the best thing would be for them to throw him with Evan Bourne when he comes back and just have, like, a little high-flying tag team, since it seems like they want to push the tag teams a little bit. But other than that, I mean, they're not going to give AJ a singles push, unfortunately, just because he's AJ Styles from TNA. So if he got, like, a spot like that with Evan, or kind of like a little spot like in a tag team or something, he would have a little run. And as far as, you know, get to be in the WWE and make some real money, but I don't really see AJ ever breaking out in the WWE. I mean, even with the smaller guys, it's just that AJ, they're going to see his age because he is older now, and they're just going to, he's never going to get past a certain spot.
I don't see them wanting anybody but maybe Bobby Roode. Or Austin
Aries. They can't get Bobby Roode, and they passed.
That guy is so good. I mean,
every contract he was the last time, he was, I think they showed no interest.
I think he's
That's too bad. No.
They do okay with the ROH guys, though. So, you know.
Yeah, true. That's, he's so
Maybe
crispy.
She go there. Maybe she could go there and then go to WWE. I don't know.
Yeah. That guy is so smooth in the ring. Everything he does is so crisp, and everything, his transitions are great. His just everything he does is so spot on. And I think he would work really well with some of those guys.
It reminds me a lot of Triple H when he works.
Absolutely.
Just in his movements and timing, stuff like that.
Yep. If you were to see one of the TNA guys in WWE, who would you think, Couture?
No, I really like the AJ Styles, but I think he's awesome.
Yeah.
I like to see the knockout division in WWE.
Jeez. They're just
so you don't want to play
like they're just like divas except skankier.
I wanna see Velvet Sky, Russo, Escana.
Oh, jeez.
I know when I go to bed, that's the dream match I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Why did I laugh at that? Oh, goodness. So,
who would ever thought that the female AJ would do a better promo than a male AJ this week?
Oh, I knew that. When the hell
was
AJ
Styles ever
cut a good promo?
That's not fair. Come on.
AJ had to get. He's got that big AJ tattoo on his side.
That's what he's going to have to be for the rest of his life. You know?
There's already another AJ. What do they do?
Yeah, what are they going to do? I guess they could put makeup on it every night. Or put him in a body.
Alan Jones Styles or something. Alan Jones Styles or.
Alan Jones.
He could be AJ's little brother or something. And it's just a tribute to his sister.
He sounds like a guy from the secondary on the Arizona Cardinals, you know. Playing linebacker, Alan Jones from Tennessee. I don't know. Yeah, AJ Styles has got to be his name. And maybe they can do the gimmick like they did with Manic, and he could be AJ Styles, but be masked, but unmasked.
I don't see that happening.
No? Yeah, because WWE doesn't do stupid things like putting a guy under a mask and telling you who it is.
Oh, so you don't think they're going to tell us that it's Primo and Expo that are the Los Matadores?
Well, the good thing is nobody cares about those two guys, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I can't wait for Los Matadores because apparently they're coming with Mascarita Dorada.
Anytime
you have a midget, it's awesome.
Now, wasn't Tito Santana already a Matador?
Yes.
They could be El Hijo, Tito Santana, El Matador.
I see.
Puerto Rican Matadors.
What? And as much as I like Mascarita Dorada, they should have got Midget Blue Monkey.
Why?
Because Midget Blue Monkey is the most awesomest thing ever, dude.
I suppose.
You didn't see when he got drop kicked out of the ring and did like a shooting star
press? I saw it.
That's the greatest spot in the history of pro wrestling.
I don't think those matches are even big enough to wrestle Hornswoggle.
Yeah, and then he's an old man, so Hornswoggle would kill him.
In other TNA news, appears that one Mr. Hulk Hogan has a little bit of heat on him because he's been doing things outside the company. Not just for the 2K sports deal, of course that's the video game that's coming out later this year, but for his outside appearances like the Toronto Fan Expo. Many people are now questioning if he's worth the money they pay him, or if they should really be part of TNA's future plans, especially given that he can't work a singles match and could do a tag team match at best.
Okay, they're pissed off. They're pissed off at him for going through like a Comic-Con thing, but they're not pissed off at him because he can't get his lines right and fucking announce his title matches that aren't title matches and shit like that every week.
Right.
You know what? To be fair, I put that on them too because that show was not live.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't
right?
A live show, wasn't it?
No, it's just like semi-live. It's like an hour or so delay or something. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Going to change that?
They could fix it in post.
They could
like
Hogan probably
had a clause. Hogan probably has a clause that they don't ever redo his shit because he's Hulk Hogan, and if he does something, it's good enough.
Well, that's kind of dumb.
And what is Eric Bischoff lying? Straight out lying? Doesn't he know what year it is and there's the internet and you can find shit out?
Yeah. But even still, if Hogan said the wrong line, they could use the dump button like somebody cursed. Or they could scramble the video feed and fade to black. Like, you know, if it was that bad, they could fix it if they really wanted to. They just don't.
They can't even tell Hogan to do it one more time.
Yeah.
The WWE doesn't have a problem with someone fucks up and having them go out and redo their match or their move or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. So anyway,
what are the 500 fans, if that, and the tenants are gonna break kayfabe and let everyone know that, you know, it's just not real.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the what they needed, if he could do it, he would have Eric Bischoff in full control and have like an unlimited amount of money, which I think pretty much anybody that's going to run a business would want. So, not really innovative.
If I had unlimited money, I'd run the shit out of TNA.
I wouldn't run a wrestling company, that's for damn sure. I want to make money.
Yeah, exactly. I'd make money. Exactly. Got a little bit of indie news right here. Just a bit. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, PWG, is starting their Battle for Los Angeles tonight. And the card is as follows. These are all first round matchups.
And a Battle of Los Angeles.
Did they say Battle for Los Angeles?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Battle of Los Angeles.
If you don't even watch indie wrestling and he knew the name of it, Jesus Christ, crazy.
Well,
I've heard of Bola.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Bola, does Jeb still like invite Brian and Vinny down? They haven't gone in like a few years.
No, they haven't gone in. They just went the one time. And
no, they went twice.
They went the one time, but the other time, you let me finish. They went the one time, and the other time, Ed and Brian went down, Ed Moretti, and they worked in the battle, or six-man, I'm sorry. so I don't think Vinny went but one time.
You're thinking of the King of the Indies, Craig.
Okay.
King of the
Indies,
sure
the only
Brian. Then they also have a battle royal where they just all chop the shit out of Brian. That's that show.
Okay.
I know Brian and Vinny went to two bolas because they did two shows on it. Vinny always talks about how one guy brought him Corona.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, PWG's. Good God. The Battle of Los Angeles starts tonight, and these are the first round matchups. Michael Elgin versus Rich Swann. Kevin Steen versus Chuck Taylor. Johnny Gargano versus Willie Mack. It says Trent with a question mark, so I'm guessing that's Trent Beretta versus Kyle O'Reilly. Joey Ryan versus Drake Younger. Anthony Nice versus ACH. Brian Cage versus Tommaso Ciampa. Roderick Strong versus A.R. Fox, and in a special attraction tag team match, Adam Cole and the Young Bucks versus T.J. Perkins and the Forever Hooligans, Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov. That's going to be...
So Mannix wrestling on Bola tonight?
I'm sorry?
Is it Mannix wrestling tonight? Is that T.J.
Perkins? Yeah, T.J. Perkins, yes. That is Mannix.
Think he's going to wear the costume to match?
I don't think so. Because he'll probably be fine.
There was one mismatch, man. Kevin Steen against Chuck Taylor. Doesn't he outweigh him like by 300 pounds?
Probably 200 at least.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck Taylor's a selling machine.
Yeah, there's some decent talent. I don't know a lot of the names, but there are some decent talent. Bolo does do a good job of being able to bring in indie guys from, like, you know, Dragon's Gate and ROH and wherever. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a good
I actually think Bolo jumped the shark to the 1 year that Joey Ryan wanted.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted Claudio against Hero. And it looked like that's what they were going to get, and then they got Joey Ryan instead. So I think Joey Ryan killed Bolo.
Hey, if it took that long for one of the owners to actually put himself over, that's pretty good, because every company I've ever worked for, the owner was the champion. So just saying. In other indie news, it looks like the Briscoes are going to be staying with ROH, and they are expected back within the next 2 months. So, them boys heading back to ROH. Good job, Jay, for the racist and homophobic tweets. No?
They could have been, if given a chance, they would have been awesome on WWE, but they probably wouldn't have given them a chance. And, at least we can watch them on ROH.
Everybody is saying they would go very well with the shoot, their name fell out of my head just right then. That they would go very well with
the Wyatt Clan.
Thank you, the Wyatts. But after that that little vignette that they played on Monday, I'm fine with them the way they are. I love that vignette. It was creepy as all heck.
I mean, wouldn't be too baggy, Richard. I'd take the Briscoes over the other two guys because I don't care much for them anyway.
Yeah, Luke's fine. The other one is...
has a mask.
He wears a mask and a jumpsuit.
Wears a mask. He's got a mask that's going to get over and sell merchandise. So even bad as he sucks, he's going to have a job for a little bit.
I'm sure you can put the mask on anybody.
That's very true. I know something's getting over when my son comes in the middle of the night and says, "Daddy, I had a dream about the Wyatts, and I'm scared."
I'm gonna sleep with you.
Yeah. It's been a long time since we've had a wrestling-related nightmare or concern, and it was the Wyatts. They freak him out. He won't look at the screen when they're on, and I'm just looking at it and grinning, and this is awesome. And my son's like, "I don't want to watch that. And just don't watch. Don't watch. It's fine." Wyatts just creep him out. So that's money right there. In other indie news, the former ROH tag team champions Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards are
aren't they the current? Didn't they beat Forever Hooligans?
Oh shoot, you're putting me on the spot here, Ed. I'm not 100% sure.
Pretty sure.
I know there was some kind of tag title change recently. I can't remember who it was.
ROH.
Yeah.
ROH likes to put the titles on people who may leave the company.
Yeah. They are no longer under contract with ROH, and they showed up in a evaluation for the WWE this last week in Orlando, and it looks like they're pretty high on Eddie. But and I think it was Eddie and Davey were like number one and number two in the evaluation.
They'd be higher on Davey if he was just a little taller.
Yeah,
they gotta pray they keep him as a team. That's the only way Davey's gonna stick around. And they better hope that this big man never walks by him in the locker room.
Oh geez.
I mean, because and Davey's not a small guy. I mean, he's built and solid for his size. It's just his size is very little.
Yeah. And, he's got to get past the wellness test, so.
Yeah. And they can also put it with Wolf Matador as that's a little mini, too.
Anyway, those guys are super good, and I hope that they'll do something with them. If they picked up Generico, I don't see why they wouldn't pick up these guys. I think they're going to do well. But, good luck to you.
I mean, they really need to think about it and realize that the guys who are doing the best in the Villamental are pretty much the ROH guys.
Mm. did you guys see the Claudio and Sami Callihan? Or not Sami Callihan, I'm sorry.
Sami
El Generico match. Thank you.
No.
Yeah, on NXT. That was.
No, I heard about it. I didn't watch it.
It's pretty tremendous. Quite a way to see that.
Yeah, it's free. That's free on Hulu now. So anybody wants to go watch it, NXT's on the free.
It's free on
Hulu now.
Yep. Oh, really?
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
From now on,
it's
going to be
free. Why was it that part of like a news update in the past? So we could have enjoyed it the last few weeks.
It has been in the news update in the past.
There you go.
On the show.
Okay.
Yeah. In other indie news, this isn't really indie news, Sami Callihan, who I just briefly screwed up and mentioned, is going to be debuting for WWE as Solomon Crow. That is his new name in WWE, which I think is, it's solid.
All the other names have never been too bad. I mean, Dean Ambrose. Kind of his name is a name. It don't matter.
Yeah, it's better than Cash Sono, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is.
Nope.
I heard he got taken off the NXT roster.
No, I hope not.
I read that somewhere.
Hmm. We shall see.
Apparently he don't want to work out or something. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, he's always been on the verge of being fat. I mean, when he first started, he was fat, dude. That was his big thing. Everyone made fun of him for being fat. And then he started teaming with Claudio, and Claudio's a health freak. And, he prepares his meals for like the whole weekend. I guess Claudio had a good effect on him and got him to lose some weight. And unfortunately, even though that he's wrestling on NXT every once in a while. It sounds like he's rooming every day with Claudio, and he's not taking care of himself, and the fat Chris Hero is coming back.
All you have to do is watch that CM Punk DVD that came out last year. And, you know, they have clips of him, you know, wrestling in the barn, and him and Hero are wrestling in the quote-unquote barn. And Chris Hero is 280, probably pushing 3 bells. He was a big boy. And, you know, sometimes the little fat kid in all of us wants to come out. It's just that some of us stay up. So.
All right.
Yeah. So, I have 2 more news stories, and it's 40 minutes past the top of the hour. So, here's what I got. Rey Mysterio has been announced for WWE's Tour of Mexico. I don't know if he'll be working, but it sounds like he's going to be back on the road. He's going to be working October 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th in this one Mexican town of whom I can't pronounce. But then in Guadalajara on the 17th, in Mexico City on the 18th, Cuaterio.
I'm glad you tried. Yeah. I didn't.
Hey, well, it sounds like it should be in Canada. Anyway, and then on October 19th in Monterey. So it's like Ray's back on the mend, which is good.
I gave him 3 months, and he's hurt again for a year.
Gosh, I hope you're wrong, but
it's about over for him. Let's be honest.
Yeah. He's had better days, that's for sure. I feel badly for him, especially in the last few years. It seems like you said, you know, come back, you work a program, get hurt. And that's kind of the way it's been. Okay, last news story. I think we might be wrapping this up early, boys. Ted DiBiase Jr. has left the WWE. In a statement from Ted Sr., says Ted DiBiase Sr. is frustrated that his son is leaving WWE. The reason he has not been back on TV is that they just don't want to throw him back out there. I've had a lot of frustration there, too, as a dad, in trying not to be biased. I asked my friends, Arn Anderson and Mike Rotundo, the guys who are in production roles now, I said, did I miss something? Is there something wrong with my kid? Does he have it? They say, oh, no, he's one of the best wrestlers we got. I said, what's the deal? They said, we just need to find something for him. So, Ted DiBiase has left the WWE. I just can't see this guy working on the indie circuit for some reason.
He could do the semi-circuit.
A family thing, or even to spend more time with his kids.
Like, how is he not spending time with his kid? He's not on the road.
Well, you only need 3 minutes.
That's true. I always thought he was a good wrestler, but he was just missing that little spark, you know what I mean? Just something with him didn't click, and, you know, I think he's really talented. There's something missing with his, he needs a good gimmick. He needs something that he can get behind, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he was good for a while when they were doing the whole legacy thing. I thought they were a good little group there. But
yeah.
And they gave him the $1 million belt, and that was just kind of like a flop.
Oof.
Gave him a wreath, that was a flop.
Well, they wanted him to redo the gimmick without really redoing the gimmick. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
They gave him Virgil, that was a fucking flop. Although Virgil actually had people around him, so I think that was different
right.
for him.
Right. He wasn't selling t-shirts in a subway.
Yeah.
Well, not that week.
out that week.
It's I don't know, it's just sad. He's really talented, and I wish they would have found something for him. Like you said, with Legacy, they were good, and he just had the right guys around him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what it needs. If he could have been, he could have been somebody like Marty Jannetty, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mhm. And that's all the news I got tonight, guys.
What do you think of Raw Monday?
I thought Raw was one of the better shows. They've been on a roll since SummerSlam. Now, granted, it's been like 2 weeks, but since SummerSlam, it's been all right.
This is better before SummerSlam. It's been good for a while.
I enjoy heel Hunter back. I like him. I missed him.
Yeah.
As I can't stand it, dude, he's actually been really good the last few weeks. And they're also, like, everyone's bitching about how they're making the locker room look by being a bunch of pussies. That's going to get Big Show over big time, dude. Because he's so good at fucking being like an actor and fucking portraying his pissed offness. Like, everybody was just there. And a few guys looked sad, like Ziggler looked sad, but fucking Big Show just looked like he was the most pissed off person in the whole world.
Right.
Last time he got fired, he went out there and cried like a bitch. Oh, Johnny, please don't take my job.
Yeah, he has a wide range. He has a wide range. But it's been awesome. I mean, the Daniel Bryan storyline has been awesome. The CM Punk storyline has been awesome. Heyman was fucking, like, it's incredible on Raw. And CM Punk, he's been known as Hakeling for the team.
I think he's going to be the one, like, to come out, like, to kind of cross the picket line, so to speak. Seems like something he would do. Whenever, because
sure
on the show they go with that, this stuff with he and Heyman, you know.
Well, they would if he wasn't involved with the feud with Heyman, but he's got his own hot program, so why involve him in the other ones when you can
have
Big Show?
Well, I don't know how much further that's going to go. I mean, how much further can it go when you're dealing with only guy you can wrestle like Curtis Axel?
I would have him bring in some of the rejects from NXT, like bring in Mason Ryan when we bring back that other black guy who's
Mason Ryan is your plan.
Mason Ryan. Or that other black guy that no longer they don't need anymore because they got a Big E. That
Mason
one, Ahmed Johnson. Huh?
Ahmed Johnson.
Not Ahmed Johnson. Who was the black dude whose his big move was like five body slams?
Oh,
no.
Oh, gosh. Ezekiel Jackson.
Yeah, Ezekiel Jackson's for a week. He's bringing all these losers
for a
week.
I want to see Punk working with Mason Ryan and Ezekiel Jackson.
It'll be just like, dude, don't you like Vicious Wrestling? It'd be just like Vicious Wrestling, bringing in the shitty freaks to wrestle Jerry Lawler, bringing the shitty freaks to wrestle CM Punk.
This is a newsflash. They're not Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
And he's not coming back till 2014.
They're not even Black Lesnar.
It would be a weekly thing. He just beat him on Raw. I'm not saying for, like, fucking pay-per-views or anything.
Well, if they're going to do
that, 400,000 viewers.
If they're going to do that, they might as well get some of those great big jacked-up guys and put hoods on them and call them Heyman's Army and have Punk run through all of them in 1 week.
Oh, I'd go a couple weeks, then 1 week.
Okay, fine. Whatever. I mean, there's no reason to bring in somebody else is what I'm saying. But if you get a bunch of big jacked up guys under hoods and you send them at Punk one by one and he eliminates them and he just almost gets his hands on Heyman, you know, every time. And Heyman is just amazing enough to sell it the way it's supposed to be sold. maybe it could be something like that.
They could get that guy who kicked Rosa Mendes' ass and put a mask on him.
Ouch. Edward.
Mason Ryan.
That's what he said.
I can't get over that.
Hmm.
Oh, 1 week thing. He beats him in 1 week.
I don't want to watch him progress with Mason Ryan.
Maybe they could hire Rob Terry away from TMA and throw him out there, too.
And bring the double-double E guy back. You know, what's the name?
Yeah, that guy's no good.
Mason Andrews or whatever his name was, Jackson Andrews, who's there for...
I just said that.
He was his bodyguard for like 24 hours.
I talked about the guy who kicked Rosa Mendes' ass.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't think I could probably do the same, so that's not saying much.
You're so obsessed with Mason Ryan, you forgot that I brought up Andrew Jackson or whatever the fuck his name is.
Andrew Jackson, he was our president.
That'd be a good gimmick, though.
Oh, sure. The dead president.
Andrew Jackson, I used to be the president?
Yeah, they could have guys dressed up like one in a Confederate outfit and one in like a Union outfit.
Yes, like Point Break, right?
They can
get the rebel flag and bring back Tracy Smothers.
Ready to go, Troy?
This is tremendous.
Bring back New Jack.
They
never had New Jack. How's he going to bring him back?
Bring him back to the business.
Yeah.
Mason Andrews or Mason Ryan or whatever.
Mason Ryan. Yeah. Come on.
That's
man.
Because
that
when they
weird.
Did that stuff in Memphis, people there were so the fans were so stupid and believed everything. So they came back.
Who was the one guy who was there around the time that Andy Kaufman was there, and he looked like he was out of like a black and white horror movie from like the 20s?
The Colossus of Death.
That Colossus
was just... he had a mask on to make him look like a monster. He actually looked like Baron Von Raschke.
He looked like a cross between Baron Von Raschke and a sloth from the Goonies.
Yeah, that's exactly who he left. Because
he walked around like he had a hunch, too. At least in the picture there, he looked like he was fucking a hunchback, too.
Yeah, I think he fell back into the ropes, and then he couldn't do anything. They came up with some goofy stuff back then. They're all used to not go like WWF wrestling and stuff for being like show business and stuff. They came up with some absurd shit in Memphis. Or they had Batman Adam West show up 1 week, and he said Supes couldn't be here. You know, he's talking about Superman, his buddy. He couldn't be there. Supes.
Oh.
I don't know. And Jerry Lawler actually has one of those Batmobiles. I heard on the interview.
Yeah, I just recently saw a picture of him with that. I forgot where I saw it on.
He doesn't even have a gas gate.
Don't those things get like 5 miles to the gallon?
Like from Memphis to that new museum that they were putting together in Mississippi.
So,
you know what I'm talking about?
No, they were
doing like a Jerry Lawler, like a museum or something. Which is in like at a place in Tunica, Mississippi. And he drove the Batmobile down there.
He had to have someone follow him with a bunch of fucking tanks of gas. That thing gets like 2 to 5 miles like a gallon or a tank.
And doesn't even have a gas gauge on it. He said.
There you go. Now, is this museum like a Jerry Lawler specific museum or is it like a Memphis museum?
I think so. I think it's mostly Jerry Lawler stuff, you know, like,
okay.
I don't know, like roads or something, or pictures, or, you know, what have you. I'm not really sure.
Well, other than Elvis, the only person who could have a museum in fucking Memphis would be fucking Jerry Lawler.
Yep.
Makes sense to me. Oh, by the way, I'll bring this up.
Did they get
since we got a few.
Go ahead.
So, Brian had Lance Storm at his place most of last week. And so Brian went ahead and sent me I don't want to say a tweet, but he messaged me and said, hey, we're going to have dinner with Lance at the Cheesecake Factory on Saturday night. And I said, Saturday night at what time? And he said, 8:30. And I said, you want to go to the Cheesecake Factory at 8:30 in Bellevue, which is just across the water from Seattle, on a Saturday night, and you think you're going to eat by 9? Sure, we'll be fine. So I get there.
What time did y'all eat? 11?
10. Because Brian doesn't plan. Anyway, I got there first because Brian, of course, was running late, as per usual. I got us a table, and the lady said, there's going to be 9 of you, so I'm going to give you this pager, but my manager is going to come talk to you. I said, so you're putting me in a line to get in line? And she said, yes. I said, that's fair.
A pager.
So,
yeah, it's one of those circle things with the lights that go off when they're ready for you.
Yeah. So, about being there about 20 minutes, Brian finally shows up. Lance was right behind him. And then Whitney showed up because they actually drove separate. And everybody's there, and the manager calls me over. And she said, it's going to be about an hour and a half wait. And it was already 8:45.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so I said, it's going to be an hour and a half wait. Brian said, it won't be that long. I said, you've already been wrong twice tonight. So what do you mean? I said, you texted me a half hour ago and said you were 5 minutes away, and you just walked in the door. Okay. And then I said, and you were wrong by picking this restaurant on a Saturday night at 8:30. And so he said, it won't be that long. So we waited about an hour. And finally, we sat down. But here's the funny part. I brought my son Cameron with me, and I announced to him, we are going to have dinner with Lance Storm. And he said, who? Because he's 7. Okay. So I grabbed the computer, went to YouTube, and I typed in Lance Storm, and all these videos came up. So the first one
did
we
showed the one about where he had the big dig, did you?
No.
Okay.
The first thing we watched was Lance Storm versus Triple H from SmackDown. And that's a pretty fun match. Of course, he gets killed and loses, but that's a fine match. And then next up, we watched him and Van Damme in a tag match from Raw. And then lastly, we watched him and Bryan Danielson from ROH, which was, we actually found a clips video of that because that match is like 40 minutes or something.
Well, could have waited, maybe we could have worked that through your weight to get some food.
Yeah, you should have pulled that up and handed him the phone and said, here, watch this kid. So he's impressed. Okay. Lance Storm, he's a pretty good wrestler. I said, yes, he's a very good wrestler. Okay. All right, Dad. So we get there, and he's not starstruck or anything because, you know, he's just not sure. But I told Lance, I said, I have a confession to make. My son didn't know who you were because, well, you quit wrestling before he was born. He said, yeah, I know. And then I said, we watched your SmackDown match from, I can't remember the date, but against Hunter. He goes, oh, I remember that match. And I said, yeah.
It was July 9th.
Did you know? Okay, there you go. He said, something was weird on, you did your springboard clothesline gimmick, and it looked like Hunter was like completely out of position. He goes, yeah, I got a story about that. I was just getting to that. He said, so I'm in the back with Hunter, and I'm going over the spots and what we're going to do, and I said, I'm going to hit a springboard clothesline, and I always throw the clothesline with my left, which I have found that's the case with most Canadian wrestlers for whatever reason. I was asking Buddy Wayner out at once and about it once. He says, "Yeah, man, if you throw a clothesline with your right, I won't even take a bump for it." And I looked at him. I said, "Really?" He goes, "No, of course I take a bump." So, anyway, so he says, "Telling Hunter, I'm going to springboard. I'm going to hit you with a clothesline on my left." And Hunter's like, "Oh, yeah, of course. I'll be in position. I'll be ready for it." Yeah, so in the match, if you watch it, it looks so wonky. Hunter, as Lance Storm is springboarding onto the ropes, Hunter goes to his left, like he's going to get the clothesline with the right. And it looks ridiculous because then Hunter, at the last second, moves out of the way and takes the clothesline. So there's your proof. Hunter Hearst Helmsley almost blew a spot.
Almost.
Very close. It looked wonky. It looked a little silly. But he still managed to pull it off because, let's be honest,
that
Hunter's
the one when he had the pedigree Kurt Angle.
That was not his fault. The table went into business for itself.
That was a scary spot. Now,
yeah,
I got to give it to Winnie because she is smart about always going separately because she doesn't have to deal with Brian, you know.
Well, there was another story to that. She was actually out on a modeling shoot and was coming from North Bend. And
she was wearing yoga pants in a lake or something.
Pretty much. Whatever. But I asked Brian, I said, what have you seen in the city? And he starts naming off these things they've done. I said, "Oh, you didn't go to Snoqualmie Falls?" "No, is that cool?" I said, "Yeah, it's like a 200-foot waterfall. It's nothing really that cool." "A 200-foot waterfall?" And he gets all, he's like, "Brian, wait." And I said, "Yeah, Whitney was up there really like 10 minutes away from there with her modeling shoot today." He's like, and he was kind of like, "Huh, how did Brian miss that?" That's what happens when you let Brian over and plan.
What's up with him? He's going on all these weekly tangents on radio shows about stupid shit. God.
You know, he does that with Vinny, but he gets on my nerves when he starts doing that shit with Dave. Like, he gets all butthurt about something.
Mm-hmm. And Dave kind of no-sells it.
Yeah,
that's the best. And then because he does that, then Brian harps on it for a little longer. And won't shut up about it.
The whole thing was simple. Daniel Bryan gets a rematch because he's a former champion. John Cena doesn't because he's injured.
Sure.
It's not difficult to understand. I mean, I don't know what the deal is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I guess Randy Orton is supposed to wrestle Air for his title defenses. I don't know. Not going to wrestle anybody.
No. He should wrestle the dude from South Africa because he's about to be on Total Divas this week. And since he's on the Total Divas show, he should be pushed. Because he was on Total Divas for 1 week, and that's who he should fucking wrestle.
Yeah, I'm not buying that pay-per-view.
Oh, how about Mason Ryan? No?
And I usually don't ever have anything bad to say about Vinny, but anyone who hates the Bellas is, I don't know, fucking gay or something.
I just don't understand the hate for that show. I mean, it's just a show. I mean, it's so stupid. I mean...
It's awesome. I love it, dude.
Like
it's
they're
great.
Trying to bamboozle you or something like that. You know what the shit is. God.
My favorite thing on the shows this week was Brian threatening me by sending Nikki Bella to my home.
As a threat?
Gosh, please don't do that, whatever you do.
Like that.
Hold on, let me get this straight. You want to send the super hot girl with big fake boobs over to my house to punish me?
Who apparently is a whore? Was this coming the episode from this week?
She's the one following Derek Hall. Someone following Derek drunk or something this week.
No, actually, that's Bree. That's Bree that gets because she's so small, she got drunk faster.
Well, it doesn't matter because Brian can't tell them apart. Even with the big
He kept bitching and he fucking screwed it up 3 times about whatever he was bitching about. But
yeah,
yeah, dude. I mean, Bree got fucking awesomely drunk from the pitcher, and then like they played that clip of Cena and Nikki talking about all the dudes she's been
with.
That
was phenomenal.
It would be so awesome if it would have ended like the movie Clerks, where they're arguing about how many blowjobs the girlfriend gave, and then when she leaves, you can hear John Cena try not to suck any dick on the way.
John Cena on the show, he's like Dave Meltzer. He just no-sells shit and doesn't understand why you don't get it. This is not that strange. Okay. You slept with a lot of guys, or you haven't slept with a lot of guys, or John Cena is the best person on the show, to be honest with you.
Like when they stole Cameron's kitty, and he's
okay.
He's all, so you're just trying to ruin someone's life, that's all.
I don't know why, but I love every week, like every, then like every couple of weeks, somebody does something, they got to bring Stephanie in, and they got to have the sit down. I don't know, I like that for some reason. It's just funny.
And she looks all paused and everything.
A slap fight at the go-kart races. Jesus Christ.
It wasn't even that. It was like one like face palm and a little push that was barely anything. That's right.
I want to wrestle Spangles. Okay, you're on the booking team now. Yeah, right. You're going to stay together. We say stay together. Then shut the fuck up. That's what they'll say if it's real.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to stay together or carry your ass?
I just found out just yesterday that, remember when we had one Casey Spinelli on the show a little bit ago? She had done some work for Shimmer, and she wrestles up here in the Vancouver, BC area.
She's in the World of Hurt, right?
Yeah, she's on both teams.
She's on World of Hurt. That's right.
Pretty hot.
Well, she's attractive. She's a fun girl. I'll leave it at that. Turns out that she's going to be on a upcoming episode of Wipeout.
What is that?
You don't know what Wipeout
is. They do like a maze and they get like hit by big balls, or they kind of jump to this or that and it's spinning around and shit like that.
Yeah. It's like a Japanese game show that America bought. And it's called Wipeout, and they do these incredible.
Japanese, because they're not flip flopping all over the place.
Oh, fine. Anyway, she's going to be on. I think it's next season. She's going to be on one of the episodes of Wipeout, doing the challenge, and apparently she finishes one of them. So she did very well on Wipeout. So look for Miss Casey Spinelli on Wipeout.
You know what? Somebody needs to bring back Double Dare.
It's like that for adults, really.
It's like that.
I was looking on YouTube the other day for Double Dare, because it just was in my mind for some reason. I remember that Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan were on an episode doing those obstacle courses. I said, I got to see if I can find this. I couldn't find it on YouTube, though. That's back when they were doing all the slime shit, and they had the show where you say, I don't know, and the slime comes on your head.
Yeah, basically.
You can't do that on television.
I love that show. That show is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about that like about a month or two ago. With Moose.
Yeah, Moose.
And Kevin and Lisa.
Barth. The cook.
Yeah.
So.
Remember, Lisa was pretty hot.
Alanis Morissette was on that show when she was a kid. She was one of the cast members.
Really? Yeah, they were on it.
Very.
Don't you think?
How's it going, Craig?
Thank you. I'm here all week.
I saw an episode of the show Out of Control. It used to come on Nickelodeon. It had, like, Dave Coulier from Full House. He was, like, first
or
something.
Right.
Yeah, I've never seen some of this stuff. I hadn't seen in years. I hadn't even thought about it in 20 years.
You know that Dave Coulier, or Coulier, whatever, he dated Alanis Morissette.
Is that right?
He's the inspiration for her biggest hit.
Yes,
which was what?
Hold on. Give me a second.
The angry song.
You ought to know.
He breaks into the house or something?
Yeah, it's Jake. You ought to know.
Oh, you ought to know.
Yeah. That's like her first hit. That's about Dave Coulier. She was so upset after the breakup that they had.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's an odd pairing.
That's crazy.
I like Alanis.
Dave Coulier and Alanis Morissette in the same day. And didn't know that they were once a thing.
Hmm.
You know, on one of the Spurs championships, might have been the one against when they beat Cleveland with LeBron, she sang the national anthem, and she fucking killed it. She was fucking, that was one of the greatest national anthems I've ever heard.
Well, it's like a new song to her because she's Canadian.
Yeah, I know, it was weird. That's why I was like, why is she singing? She's Canadian, but she was awesome.
Good to know. Okay, so that's...
Okay, so I watched all these X-Men movies a few weeks ago I told you about. I went back and watched all the older ones. And Magneto wasn't really that bad of a guy, you know that?
Nah, he wasn't. He was actually pretty cool.
I mean, he was actually, I mean, you couldn't not kind of, you couldn't really argue what he was fighting for. He had a point. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I can't wait, sir. He's going to be in, I saw a preview for X-Men Days of Future's Past, and he comes out in the preview. And
it
shows at the end of Wolverine, the preview at the end of Wolverine, yeah.
Yeah, him and Dr. X came back. He's alive.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they explained that at the end of three, because earlier in three, Dr. McTarget's talking about some guy who's like, alive, but there's like nobody home, and basically he put himself in that dude.
Like when he disintegrated, he put himself in somebody else.
Yeah, right before.
And how'd he get his body back?
Hopefully they will explain that. But Days of Future Past was an awesome storyline in the comics, so I have high hopes for this.
This is one like they go to like the. It's gonna have both casts of like the first class and the current ones. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I'm not too sure, but I saw like Havoc's like thing in one of the pictures.
I know Jennifer Lawrence is in it. I know the guy that played the young Professor Xavier's in it. And the young Magneto's in it, so must be some kind of time travel stuff or something.
That's cool because the young Magneto He's fucking awesome. That was one of the best villain characters I've ever seen. I mean, he was fucking great.
Yeah, I have higher hopes for Kevin Bacon in that movie with the coin.
Yeah. I liked how he, like, kind of paused for a second. That was real cool.
Now, was the guy...
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
Well, damn it, you say go ahead, and then you fucking interrupt me. Calm down. And now you're making me forget what I was going to say.
Okay, I'm speaking now. So I watched the Wolverine Origins movie. And is that guy, Victor Creed, is he supposed to be like Sabretooth in the later movies?
It is Sabretooth.
I mean, he just seemed like a mindless monster in the later movies. Same kind of... You know, he actually had a personality and stuff in the early movies. It was confusing me, so that's why I asked.
Yeah, plus he didn't have enough hair, but he was more like the comic book character on the X-Men, on the Wolverine movie. Just not as hairy.
Yeah. It just seems like there was a lot more to his character. He just seemed like in the first one, in the first X-Men film, he was just like this mindless brute, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He seemed a lot smarter in the earlier films, that's why I was asking.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty good. And I have higher hopes for the X-Men movie more than the Superman and Batman movie. Even though I like Ben Affleck, I don't know. The Superman movie sucked, so, I mean.
I thought it was awesome.
All of them.
It sucked.
All of what?
I haven't liked any of the Superman movies.
Even with Christopher Reeve?
Well, that's, how many years ago was that?
You didn't like Superman 2? Well, before Zod? So it was awesome.
And what was Richard Pryor was fucking awesome.
That was a good movie. I will say that. That was some funny shit.
I mean, on the reboot stuff, on the reboot stuff that they've done recently, all the newer movies, the Superman movies have not held up in the last few years.
Oh, two of them?
They had a chance with the second one, but there's nothing about Superman that applies to the character Superman in the movie. It's a total detach.
Okay.
He's not Superman. He did not act like Superman. People expect Superman to be fucking Christopher Reeves, and that's Superman, you know?
Well, he did.
This dude was just like, let's fucking fight after I let my dad die.
Oh, God, here we go.
Christopher Reeve at least would have tried to save his dad, goddammit.
I had a buddy 2 years ago. He was invited to a Halloween party, so he rented a Superman costume and a wheelchair.
Oh. your friend sucks.
That's awesome.
It was the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life.
I'm so offended at you two right now.
That's amazing.
Not too soon. He's been dead long enough.
Thank you.
That is pretty horrible, though. That's funny as hell, though.
That's even worse than somebody coming out as a crocodile hunter holding a manta ray.
I'm going to try to find those pictures and I'll send them to you guys. They're phenomenal.
The greatest thing that's ever been about Superman was the theme music, to be honest.
Sure.
That music's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
New ones, but.
But anyway, I hear Craig do the sign for about the last 20 minutes, so I guess
hey, Ed,
we can go ahead.
Real quick, have you been watching Breaking Bad?
Yes, I have. It's been pretty good.
Well, yeah.
I hope he dies. I hate him. He's such a piece of shit. I hope
Jesse
kills him.
The video was a good swerve, though.
Yeah, that was different. I kind of was wondering how they were going to prolong that, you know.
You just see the look on Hank and Murray's face, like, he's just fucked us royally. That was tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty good. There's not that many episodes left, though. Isn't there, like, just four or five?
I think, like, this was episode 3 this past week. So I think there's like
well,
five
actually,
left.
this is a continuation to the last season. That was like episode 8 or 9 or something.
Oh yeah, that's what I meant. I mean the second part of the season. This was the third episode of the second part of the season. So yeah, I'm looking forward to wrap it all up because when they had the first scene of the first episode of the second half of the season where he shows up at his house and spray painted Heisenberg in the house, and then the neighbor like just like stunned. I gotta know how it got to that point. So
I still want to know where that what the hell from the last season where it starts off on the first episode where he's at that diner and he buys a big ass machine gun, and you haven't heard anything since then. So let's see where.
Or the guy that was eating like was testing the sauce for the chicken nuggets. And then electrocuted himself. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Oh, that dude committed suicide because they were about to crash his heroin or his meth fucking empire in overseas.
I guess I missed that one. I don't know. Some stuff I missed on the show.
It was complicated. It had to do with that one chick.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't burn the house down because the house was still up when Walt went back to it, so...
Yeah.
We booked it in the door last week at the end of it, so
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool scene. But yeah, I was thinking to myself, oh, I know the house doesn't burn down.
At least he wasn't acting like a zombie no more. He's just been irritating since the show started up again.
Depressed
and throwing fucking money like a dipshit around town.
Right.
Moron. Anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll start to wrap up. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the streamer show at AngryMarks.com. Like a lot of other shows at AngryMarks.com. You can always download the streamer show at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrere and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or Ed in San Antonio.
And you can check me out on Twitter. It's Proper Jam. It's at Proper Jam. And that's where I do all my wrestling and rock related stuff. My Facebook page is mostly for friends only, so just saying.
You can check me out on Twitter at Cotrere35. I don't tweet much, so don't get offended. You can go to youtube.com/Cotrere and got a bunch of stuff, a bunch of videos up there. Just added two new episodes of Memphis from 1986 up there, so everybody can go and check that out.
Cool. Speaking of my Facebook, today I finally, after, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, finished the G1. And so I made a post about enjoying the G1. And one of the first likes on it was by one of the guys who was in the G1. So I thought that was pretty cool. So.
Who was that?
Lance Hoyt.
Oh, Lance Hoyt. Okay.
Yeah, well, he goes by Lance Archer. He kept his WWE name somehow when he went to Japan. And
they didn't take it from him because it was so successful?
I don't know. But on the last day, he asked the rest of his tag team partner, David Boy Jr., and they actually had a pretty good match. Lance Hoyt's actually become an awesome monster in Japan. I mean, he tore it up in the G1. I mean, and he looks so much bigger. I guess that's what it is, because he looks like a monster. He's like the biggest dude there, you know. And he's got a scary-ass move, and it was scary seeing him do it to little dudes, but he fucking did it to Davey Boy Jr., and it's like, how the fuck did he do that without killing him? It was scary. But
here's a question. Is MySpace making a comeback or something?
I have no idea, but I've heard people bring it up.
Okay, because I just got this notice a few days ago. Check out Danny Rodriguez's new profile on MySpace. What? MySpace? People still use this shit? I didn't know if there was some kind of new deal or something. They were trying to compete with Facebook or something. MySpace like 5 years.
Didn't Justin Timberlake buy MySpace or one of those guys buy MySpace? I can't remember.
I thought MySpace is like, Facebook is like Transformers. MySpace is like GoBot.
I just know that those pages took forever to fucking load up on dial-up.
And every time there's somebody's page, you gotta listen to they got their songs playing and shit. I don't want to listen to your fucking song. Gotta turn the volume down on my speakers.
This is totally out of the blue, but I want to know why no one brought up the fact that the Illuminati is behind this whole Miley Cyrus thing, so no one will notice that we're going to war.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, number one, he's talking about Miley Cyrus, not Miley. And just like Mickey Whipwreck was on the show that one time.
So it's not like her sister. They got the same name.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, I'll just say Hannah Montana.
What's the Illuminati?
The people who rule the world.
Who's that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
That he might be one of them.
Really, we're gonna wrap this all up.
The world.
Ask your buddy Big D. He'll tell you all about the Illuminati.
I don't think I want to know.
Yeah. I should call in. Hopefully, there'll be an after dark. I'm going to call Brian and ask him about the Illuminati and Miley Cyrus.
Maybe. Who's Miley Cyrus?
Miley Cyrus.
Miley.
That's the one that her dad is like the Achy Breaky Heart dude.
Yes.
Yes. That's how you should know this shit.
I remember Achy Breaky Heart.
Don't tell my heart.
I've never lived in
New York. Y'all line dance. You do the chicken dance. Come on. I know how rednecks are.
I don't know nothing about what you're talking about. I've never lived in any hills.
Well, maybe you should watch the news sometime. And you
know it's depressing. Like when I watch the news and see the story about the chick that went and has a baby in the bathroom at the bar and then killed it and stuffed it in the back of the commode and went back out and watched SummerSlam.
That's not wrestling news.
That's news, though.
Well, on that happy note.
I'm going to see that Daniel Bryan match bad.
That damn actually made it funny. But, yeah, we'll go ahead and end the show. And Couture's sick humor. We're all trying to have fun. Couture's got to fuck it up for everybody. So we'll see everybody next week.
Was that worse than the Superman in the wheelchair picture?
Yes.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit! Let's go hook him up! Tonight.